Good morning. It's Thursday, the 13th of August, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader and Flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman, bringing you news from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. Today's headlines we have Josiah Kelly leads Vikings football into new era. Williams welcomes Arizona Game and Fish leadership for public meeting, and opponents headed to court over Trump cuts to Utah monuments. That first headline is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 11th of August. Josiah Kelly leads Vikings football into new era. Williams. It's a new era of Williams Vikings football. Following the retirement of Jeff Brownlee, the school's all-time winningest head coach who steered the team for 17 years, Williams High School PE and sports medicine teacher Josiah Kelly takes over the program that has won 4 state titles and 8 championship game appearances. The Vikings are coming off a 2025 season in which they won 7 games as a 6th seed made it to the 1A state semifinals, where they fell to Baghdad 19-18. The program's last state title was in 2019, which is one of 2 state championships in the Brownlee era. After graduating a class of 7 seniors that included all-conference selections Jack Dent, Mario Pedraza, Russell Skinner, and Giovanni Perez, Williams will rely on a big senior class to lead the way in 2026. The Vikings preseason roster lists 14 seniors, including Kyle Mendoza, Kyle Pearson, and Josh Rue Wilbur, who were each all-conference a season ago. Ricky Gonzalez is another senior leader who will be one of the team's primary ball carriers, along with Pearson's and juniors Anthony Soto and Anthony Martinez, according to Kelly. Sophomore Roque Montoya is expected to step into the role of starting quarterback and target an experienced receiving duo in Rue Wilbur and Mendoza. The Vikings are number 3 in the Arizona Republic's preseason rankings for the state's 8-man division as Kelly looks to instill in his players a focus on teamwork, responsibility, and character. We want our program to be something that is going to impact these kids way after they've done playing football, Kelly said. If it's not impacting them later in life, then we didn't do a good job. Kelly's upbringing as the son of missionaries was foundational in making his faith in Christ a cornerstone of his life. Having spent nearly all of his adolescence from age 4 to 18 living overseas in Russia, Slovenia, and Germany, Kelly returned to the United States for college and attended Liberty University in Virginia, where he studied kinesiology, health, and physical education. After college graduation, Kelly moved back to his birth state of Texas, where he spent 7 years as a teacher and coach, learning under the tutelage of the staff at a strong football program at Newton High in East Texas. Kelly is now in his 4th year at Williams after relocating to Arizona to be closer to his parents. Heading into his first season as head coach, Kelly credits Brownlee as being a constant mentor who has contributed much to the school and its athletics department. He's just a monumental figure, Kelly said. He really deserves a lot of credit for what's happening here because I don't think any of it happens without his leadership, his guidance, and his overall character. Brownlee, who remains the school district's athletic director this year, won 126 games in his tenure and led Williams to the state playoffs in 16 of 17 seasons and 5 state championship game appearances. He's going to be tough to follow, but he's supporting me, Kelly said. Williams kicks off the 2026 season at 7 p.m. on Friday, August 21st at Mayer. The Vikings travel to Baghdad the next week for a rematch of last year's state semifinal. Williams faces Superior in its home opener on September the 4th before traveling to Bullhead City on Saturday, September 12th, to face Nevada powerhouse Pawtucket Valley at the Anderson Auto Group Fieldhouse in a Battle of the Borders clash scheduled for 11 a.m. Home matchups against Hayden, which is seeking its 4th straight state title on September 25th, and Mogollon on October 9th highlight a challenging schedule in a year, one for Kelly, who says his team's determination will be a strength. Heart is a valuable component in what I believe makes a successful football team, Kelly said. We have a good amount of talent, and I think we've got a lot of heart to back it up. To learn more about Coach Kelly, check out his interview with the AZP 365 podcast on YouTube. And that's Josiah Kelly leads Vikings football into new era. Our next article, Williams welcomes Arizona Game and Fish Department leadership for public meeting. This is by Doreen Holche from the 11th of August, Williams. Local officials welcomed Arizona Game and Fish Commission to Williams on Friday, August 7th, opening the panel's public meeting with accounts of partnership between state wildlife officers and area law enforcement, including help with wildfire evacuations, a fatal boating accident on Lake Powell, and the identification of human remains found in a rugged canyon north of Sedona. The commission's meeting began at 8 a.m. at the Grand Canyon Railway and Hotel, 233 North Grand Canyon Boulevard. Williams Mayor Dent was the first special guest to take the podium, welcoming the commission to Williams and thanking its members for their work on behalf of the state. Opening remarks followed from Williams Police Chief James Gregory, Williams Justice Court Judge Rob Crombane, and Coconino County Sheriff Brett Axland. Gregory thanked the commission for its continued presence at Badges and Bobbers, a community event that draws visitors from across northern Arizona, and said the department's game and fish officers work very closely with our agency. Crombane, Williams Justice Court Judge, said his court's jurisdiction covers game management units 7, West, 9, 10, and 8, and described how he steers some Title 17 wildlife violation fines toward the department's conservation fund rather than the court's general fund. He cited a recent case involving a cross-country travel violation on an off-highway vehicle, a category of offense he called epidemic level in northern Arizona, though he said this case was on the lower end of the severity scale. After explaining to the defendant how such violations can lead others to travel the same illegal routes, Crombane said he directed him to donate to the Game and Fish Conservation Fund in lieu of a standard fine. He said the man ended up giving the court clerk twice what had been ordered, telling her the conservation had convinced him of the fund's importance. Axland, the county sheriff, highlighted three recent incidents in which department personnel assisted his office. Game and fish officers helped with evacuations, traffic control, and reentry during the pocket fire near Oak Creek in the Sedona area, he said. About 2 weeks earlier, Axland told the commission a boating accident on Lake Powell killed a 12-year-old French national. He credited state game and fish staff with helping his office manage both the initial response and the paperwork required for a report to the U.S. Coast Guard. Axland also described a case last October in which a wildlife biologist tracking mountain lions came across human remains in the Secret Mountain Sycamore Canyon Wilderness area north of Sedona. He said the biologist, identified as Brian Jensen, helped deputies reach the remote site and preserve evidence amid flooding conditions, while also taking precautions to protect a nearby mountain lion and her cubs. The Coconino County Sheriff's Office has since confirmed the remains as those of Yolen Miller, a 38-year-old Sedona woman who had been missing since June 2022. Investigators publicly identified Miller last month. Her death remains under active investigation, and authorities have not disclosed a cause. Without his help taking us back in there to this area, we wouldn't be on the route to solving this death investigation, Axland told the commission. Following Axland's remarks, the commission presented several awards and commendations to individuals recognized for their contributions to wildlife conservation in the region before moving on to the rest of its posted agenda. The August 7th meeting in Williams was part of the commission's regular public meeting schedule. A full agenda was posted in advance at azgfd.com/ Comm Agenda, and that's COMMAGENDA. That article, Williams welcomes AZGFD leadership for public meeting. Next, we have opponents headed to court over Trump cuts to Utah monuments. This is by Mark Richardson of the Public News Service from the 11th of August. Native tribes and conservation groups are preparing to sue the Trump administration after the president signed orders to sharply reduce the size of two national monuments in Utah. Republicans are celebrating the move, while tribes and environmentalists say it strips protections from culturally significant public lands. Governor Spencer Cox and Utah's congressional delegation joined the president to celebrate the signing of the orders. Steve Block, legal director for the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, called conservatives' vision for the state's wildlands wrong-headed. Mike Lee's vision of the American West is not one with sweeping federal public lands. His view of the American West is Utah and other western states should be the South Carolina of the West, with almost no public land, Block contended. Trump reduced the areas of the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments by about 3 million acres from their current boundaries, roughly 90% of the original protected area. Polling shows 65% of Utah voters support keeping Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante protected as national monuments. Utah Republicans have long pushed to reduce or eliminate the two national monuments to allow mining and other economic development on the land. Trump first reduced the monuments in 2017 during his first term, but Democrat President Joe Biden restored the areas. Block believes Trump is misinformed about the value of the monuments. I think he really didn't know what he was talking about. The line that everybody is hooked into, that as he understood it, you couldn't hunt, fish, or walk in the monuments, and that's so demonstrably false, Block stressed. The Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition, formed by the Hopi, Zuni, Ute Mountain, Ute, Navajo Nation, and Ute tribes, called it a major setback to an extraordinary collaboration on public lands between tribal nations and federal agencies. Block added it was a bitter pill for the tribes to swallow. The tribes are angry. They are really disappointed, Block emphasized. It's just a lot of pain from yet another attempt by the nation to try and undo their footprint. And that's opponents headed to court over Trump cuts to Utah monuments. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, and that's at sunsounds.org. Or you can download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, available from the Apple App Store for your iPad or iPhone, or from the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. You can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Next, from the 11th of August, we have water conservation measures in effect on South Rim. Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon National Park has implemented water conservation measures on the South Rim following a break in the Trans Canyon waterline. The most recent pipeline break occurred approximately 1 mile below Cottonwood Campground along the North Kaibab Trail. As a result, water is currently unable to be pumped to the South Rim. All park residents and visitors are required to conserve and reduce water use whenever possible in homes, hotel rooms, and campgrounds. Water conservation measures include reducing toilet flushing, running dishwashers and washing machines only with full loads or in eco mode, shortening shower times and turning off sinks while brushing teeth or shaving, reporting and repairing drips, leaks, and other sources of water loss, using only reclaimed water to wash vehicles. As a result of the pipeline break, potable water is currently unavailable at the following locations: Manzanita Rest Area, Cottonwood Campground, Bright Angel Campground, Delta Restrooms, Boat Beach. Backcountry hikers traveling in the Phantom Ranch area or along the North Kaibab Trail corridor should plan to carry enough water and have the ability to filter and treat water. Water utility crews are actively working to repair the Trans Canyon waterline and restore water service as quickly as possible. This information was provided by the Park Service Water Conservation Measures in effect on South Rim. Next we have City of Williams recognizes National Purple Heart Day. Williams. City of Williams, a Purple Heart city, recognized National Purple Heart Day on Friday, August 7th, by flying the Purple Heart flag at City Hall. National Purple Heart Day honors the U.S. military service members and veterans who were wounded or killed in combat. Purple Heart Day is observed annually on August 7th, the day George Washington commissioned the first Purple Heart Medal, which is originally the badge of military merit during the Revolutionary War in 1782. American Legion Cordova Post 13 Commander Roger Ely and representatives from the American Legion Auxiliary participated in a Purple Heart Day observance ceremony with the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Dale E. Crick Chapter 793, at the Arizona State Veterans Home in Flagstaff. And that's City of Williams recognizes National Purple Heart Day. Now we have National Night Out fosters community building with first responders. Calvin Shoemaker writes this on the 11th of August from Williams. The Williams Police Department hosted its second National Night Out last week. A public gathering held at the Williams Visitor Center parking lot connected the local community with its law enforcement personnel, first responders, and paramedics in order to promote strong relationships with public safety professionals. The important part is building that partnership with community, said Williams Police Department Chief James Gregory. It's one time a year where we all get together, where the community can come in and ask questions. We can kind of brief them overall with what's happening within the department. Much of the police department was on hand to interact with the attendees, converse, pass out toys, notebooks, and other goodies. The Williams Fire Department served up a free meal of hot dogs and hamburgers while sharing information about fire safety. Coconino County Emergency Management was on site to encourage people to opt in to its emergency notification system and to inform the public about the county's evacuation routes and general emergency preparedness tips. Other agencies in attendance were Victim Witness Services for Northern Arizona, Native Air, Lifeline Ambulance, Copper State Ambulance, and Coconino County Sheriff's Office. Gregory says connecting Williams residents with the local public safety community in a setting that invites one-on-one conversations helps strengthen relationships. Everybody's got to work together to make sure that we police our community, Gregory said. We are a direct representation of them, so we want to make sure that we build those relationships. If there's any concerns, they can let us know. If there's things we're doing right, we want to hear about that, too. And that's National Night Out fosters community building with first responders. Next, we have another item by Calvin Shoemaker from the 11th. Canyon Coaster fundraises $8,000 for Williams High School Athletics. Williams. The Williams High School Athletics Department got an $8,000 donation from Canyon Coaster Adventure Park on Friday. Dozens of student athletes joined their coaches and athletic director Jeff Brownlee to show their appreciation for the support as the check was presented. We appreciate all our local businesses that help support athletics, Brownlee said. Canyon Coaster has always been a big supporter of our athletics program. Without them and other supporters or sponsors, we wouldn't be able to do some of the things we're allowed to do. All of the funds raised come directly from the Canyon Coaster's annual $5 coaster rides and tubing for local special offer that was held in May. General Manager Timmy Leppert said the locals' radius was expanded this year to include Flagstaff and Belmont, in addition to residents of Williams, Parks, Ash Forest, and Seligman. Leper says the business was motivated to do the annual fundraiser as a way to support local youth and the future of the community. The owners felt that we needed to give back, Leper said. We wanted to make sure that we were doing the right thing. Athletics is expensive, so we just thought that it was a good department to donate to. The donation will go a long way for the high school athletics department, which expends dollars on items such as equipment, uniforms, travel, tournament entry fees, food, and overnight lodging. While a large donation is noteworthy, Brownlee says any financial support the department gets from the community is huge. Getting $8,000 is fantastic, but every bit helps, Brownlee said. We have a strong athletics department, and it definitely takes funds to run it. Practices for the fall sports of football, volleyball, soccer, and cheer are underway, with regular season game action kicking off next week for the Vikings soccer and football teams. Team schedules can be viewed at azpreps365, that's azpreps365.com. That's Canyon Coaster fundraises $8,000 for Williams High School Athletics. Our next article is from the Associated Press. Lake Mead hits historic low water level as Colorado River struggles. The largest reservoir in the United States has plummeted to its lowest water level since it was created some 90 years ago. This is by Ty O'Neill and Dorani Pinata from Boulder City. Lake Mead, the largest reservoir in the United States, has plummeted to its lowest water level since it was filled some 90 years ago, another sign of the crisis plaguing the Colorado River system. Water levels at Lake Mead hit 1,040.4 feet above sea level on Friday, according to federal data. That's just below the elevation of 1,040.58 feet recorded on July 28, 2022, at the reservoir that straddles the Arizona-Nevada border outside Las Vegas. The record follows a winter that produced the worst snowpack on record in the Colorado River Basin. Melting snow feeds the river, which is relied upon by farmers, industries, wildlife, hydropower producers, and more than 40 million people across seven U.S. states, tribal nations, and Mexico. It comes a week after federal officials announced a short-term proposal to stave off a crisis in the beleaguered waterway. Federal officials stepped in after the states that rely on the river, California, Colorado, Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Wyoming, and Utah, failed to reach an agreement on how to share the dwindling resource long-term. Under the proposal, California, Nevada, and Arizona would share water cuts. Years of overuse combined with drought and rising temperatures have been depleting Lake Mead and Lake Powell, the country's second largest reservoir. Together, the two bodies of Colorado River water are the lowest they've been in nearly seven decades. To protect the strained system's ability to produce hydropower, federal officials said Thursday that they'll not release cool Lake Powell water from Glen Canyon Dam in northern Arizona to protect a threatened native fish whose habitat is between the reservoirs. Severe drought in 2022 on Lake Mead, which is held back by the Hoover Dam, exposed human remains and forced water officials in Las Vegas to pump water from deeper within the reservoir to continue to supply water to millions of people. And that's Lake Mead hits historic low water level as Colorado River struggles. Our next headline, Lambon Rends Gold in Memorable Trip to Costa Rica. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 11th Williams. Grand Canyon's Tristan Lambon had a memorable trip to Costa Rica in July as a member of PhD Hoops USA's U19 team. The senior guard helped his team representing the United States go undefeated and take the tournament's gold medal over some of the Central American country's top players in his age group. Lambon was among 10 players from around the United States who were selected by PhD Hoops USA for the trip, which was made possible through community fundraising and included traveling and sightseeing with his new teammates and members of his family who are able to make the trip. Lambon said his favorite part of the whole experience being able to venture into the rainforest to see waterfalls and an animal sanctuary. The basketball games and winning the gold, that's a great experience, but also exploring the nature and culture of Costa Rica, that was really awesome, Lambon said. On the court, Lamon played shooting guard, adjusting to FIBA rules and the high energy international competition, which he says made him a better player than going into his final season with the Grand Canyon Phantoms. "I feel like my defensive IQ and defense in general has gotten better because of the trip," Lamon said. "It was a very fast-paced play style over there, so I think that really changed how I see games moving forward." For Lambone's father, Justin, getting to experience the trip with his son is now an unforgettable memory. "It was amazing to see such a talented group of young men who'd never met before learn how to function together as a team," he said. "Being able to spend all his time with my son on such an amazing trip before he graduates is an experience that I will never forget, and I will be thankful for the rest of my life. It was truly special and unique experience. And the staff of PhD Hoops and the coaches were truly amazing." Lambone is now gearing up for the fall soccer season at Grand Canyon before returning to the hard court in the 1A Central Region this winter. He says his advice for anyone presented with an opportunity to travel and play the sport they love is to not hesitate to take it. "I recommend to people, if they get opportunities to go on a trip, don't take it for granted," Lambone said. "Enjoy every second of it." And that's Lambone wins gold in memorable trip to Costa Rica. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me for this Thursday edition of Northland Views, and remind you that you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org, or you can download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, and that's available for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad. And you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.